Thanks again to Frank Hart for stopping by the studio. Boy, this fellow's got an impressive resume. He's done lots in the province when it comes to economic development. And his discussion on why we're, or how I maybe should say, we're leaving value add money on the table by exporting our resources essentially in their purest form to other countries and then allowing the other countries to do the value add. He gave a good example with field peas, but that's just one example. Certainly, we know we do it with oil and gas. We ship a lot of our heavy oil down to the States, and that's where they refine it, and they make their money on it from there. So they buy it at a pretty good cost from Canada and then make their money on it. If you remember, I had Tim Gitzel on last week, CEO of Cameco, and I asked him that question about uranium. Is there room for a value add here in Saskatchewan with regard to the uranium industry?
Yeah, so there are steps that we go through. So we mine, we're blessed in this province with the world's largest high-grade uranium mine. So we produce the uranium with our northern workforce. And then the next step is a refinery. And you're too young probably, but we could have had that refinery here in Warman about 30 or 40 years ago. And we decided we didn't want it. So it's in Blind River. We run that. We've got about 250 people running that. We'll never get it out of Blind River. They love it. And then it goes to Port Hope, Ontario for conversion. That's another step in the process. So we have about 35-40% of the world's conversion capacity, Cameco does, in Ontario. And then it goes for enrichment, fuel fabrication. So are there opportunities? Yeah, I would say there are. And we've talked with the provincial government, Premier Scott Moe, and, you know, as we, the plan is, still is, I believe, to build nuclear in the province, and so we would want to be involved in that, and, you know, as you start to build up a bit of a critical mass, you'd look at some of the fuel facilities to go with it.
To me, it's a conversation that's going to continue to build, but as you heard Frank Hart talk about this morning, there's a few steps that need to help us get there. And one of them is seeing some tax reform, if you will, reforms to the tax system, capital pools of money to incentivize some of this work, some regulatory reform, and then scaling up infrastructure to allow and facilitate some of this value add work to continue in the province and in the country. Well, phone lines are open for you for the next little bit here, 1-877-332-8255. Whatever you would like to chat about, I'm happy to chat. Maybe you're following closely this Canada Post strike. Strike notice was given by the union just yesterday. So Canada Post has been given notice that the union, which is representing more than 55,000 postal workers in Canada, is poised to shut down operations by the end of the week. So this is the second time in half a year that this has happened. You remember we went through this November, December last year, and people were stressed out about all of their Christmas packages and letters and everything that they're going to mail. We saw charities that rely on mail-in donations really struggling and worrying about that. And I think the other thing that happened was you saw people learn to pivot. And we've had to do this from time to time. The pandemic was one way, but certainly when you go through something like a mail strike, it's like, okay, we gotta get these things shipped. So let's figure out how to do it. And you secure other lines of maybe private business that can handle your shipping needs. And what happens if they do it with greater efficiency or they do it at a lower cost? Then when the strike's over and Canada Post is back at working, have they lost some of that ground? So part of this discussion, and we talked about this a fair bit in December, but it's back on the table again today because we are talking about the fact Canada Post is effectively bankrupt. They have been in this situation for quite some time. They've been losing money for quite some time, millions of dollars. $845 million operating loss in 2023. So what needs to change? Are you willing? And I ask this question with the caveat that knowing many people in this province don't have the luxury of daily door delivery of mail. People that live in rural or remote areas, I spent my whole time driving from the farm into town when I was growing up to get the mail. You go in to get the mail. Is the system, is the model broken that we expect daily mail delivery in our urban centers? Is that one way? I can tell you, I would gladly say, give it up. Give it up. Whether you go to a super box system at the end of the street, whether you go to a mailbox that you've got to drive to, might be located in a nearby mall in an urban center. I'm not stressed out about that, but I'm also a person that has the ability to jump in my truck and drive and get the mail. And I realize there are some people that live at home that don't have the same luxury. So I'm curious to know how you're feeling on this topic. When it comes to reform for Canada Post, what needs to happen? Or has the world passed by enough that this company, Canada Post, that's nearly a century and a half old, has to completely rejig the process, completely look at how they attack business in order to succeed? 1-877-332-8255. Lots of people on the text line texting in on this notion of Canada Post and what needs to happen. In fact, we're hearing from a couple of Canada Post workers. Brent in Saskatoon says, by their actions, it looks as though the Canadian government does not want Canada Post to be viable. The government is pushing everyone to do things online instead of by post. I think that online presence is something that is happening regardless. Look at how many people pay their bills online now versus sending in their check in the mail. It's a generational change in how we operate and how we do things. What do you think? What needs to change? Are you good giving up your daily door delivery if you've got it, if you're living in the city? What about weekend delivery? They might have to hire part-time workers. And of course, the union's not jumping up and down about that. If you remember back in December, we had the union in a couple of times as we had management in to talk about the strike and what they were at odds over. The union did come up with a list of things that they thought would be value add to Canada Post, but it didn't seem like the corporation was interested in those things. Cindy in Saskatoon, I find it quite ironic that Canada Post workers are planning not to be working as of this coming Friday, while the union that represents them is currently running advertisements asking everyone to get working in order to keep Canada Post public so that Canada Post can continue working for everyone. Seemingly slightly backwards to me is the pathway they are forging. Should they not be encouraging the workers they represent to stay working as well, you know, so that people can actually get the mail that those people are paid to deliver? Cindy goes on to say, recovering from the break they took this past Christmas likely still has people choosing to sit on the fence rather than jumping in and get to work in order to keep Canada Post working for everyone. I think a second strike within 6 months is the wrong way to go. What do you think? 1-877-332-8255. Phone lines are open, and I mentioned a lot of people, when they went on strike in November and December, found alternate ways to get things shipped, to get things sent, whether it was personal or for work. I got Larry on the phone from Saskatoon. Larry, thanks for calling in Tuesday morning. Appreciate having you on the show. When they went on strike last time, were you one of those people that had to find alternate ways to get things shipped?
Well, I am. It's actually Lori, not Larry.
Oh, sorry. Whatever. My bad. My bad.
That's okay. So, yeah, the last time they went on strike, I found a freight broker. They look for the best possible shipping avenue,
right?
In Saskatchewan, which most of my stuff is shipped. So whether it's Canada Post, I mean, not Canada Post, but Purelator, Canpar, UPS, or whoever. If they only have a post office box number, I'll tell the guy I need a street address, and he'll give me the address of, the co-op gas station or whatever. It's always there within a day or two instead of four or five, and it's always cheaper with the broker. So I very rarely send something with Canada Post anymore.
So did you make that change for the first time, or had you made this change a while ago, Lori?
I made it after the last strike.
Okay. So you're a good example, if I will, of someone who found an alternate service delivery model and has not looked back since.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I do expect that we are going to see more of that if this strike goes ahead, and I think it's something that everyone, including the workers, including the union, need to keep in mind. The union's not that much good if the corporation itself starts to collapse, and it will unless they can figure out a new business model. 1-877-332-8255. I'm happy to hear from you. Why don't we take a break? And when we come back, I know there's some more texts coming in and more calls on this notion of Canada Post. What needs to change? If you live in a community that has daily mail delivery to your door, are you willing to give that up? What needs to change? Or are we going to lose Canada Post altogether? Is the organization going to have to massively adapt to what is the new reality of everything being done online? 1-877-332-8255. We'll be right back here. Open lines on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. Mr. Postman, last time we were talking about this, there was snow on the ground, Christmas decorations up, Christmas trees up, and parcels sitting dormant in your house because we couldn't ship them, at least not through Canada Post. And that's what a lot of people look for, alternate ways to ship their Christmas parcels and presents. And if you send Christmas cards, maybe you adapted and this year you did electronically. And the question is, whatever change you made that strayed you away from Canada Post, do you continue that? Do you say, you know what, doesn't make a big difference to me if they go on strike? Because, and we had Lori just on the line moments ago from Saskatoon, who said, I used a broker to help me find different ways to ship on behalf of work, and I haven't strayed from that. So basically, I've made changes to my model, my business model, in a way that I don't need Canada Post anymore. This isn't good for an organization that is losing over $800 million, at least in 2023. So there's the notion of what needs to change for the business model, but then there's this notion of how do you reconcile that with the workforce? You've got a unionized workforce, 55,000 people in Canada work for Canada Post, and the union just serves strike notice on the employer. I threw out, would you be willing? Because I would be first in line to say, I don't need daily door delivery of mail. I can go to a super box at the end of the street or go to a post office somewhere and pick up my mail. I did it for years living on the farm, and I'm happy to do it now. I am maybe not shocked to see overwhelmingly on the text line, people support the idea of giving up daily mail delivery. Some people are saying, how about twice a week? Gerald in Regina, I'd be happy with twice weekly mail delivery. Wayne in Saskatoon says, I haven't mailed a letter in years. The only time I check the mail is if I'm expecting something. The mail system today is obsolete and too expensive. Here's Alex in Saskatoon. We live outside of city limits. 32 years ago when I moved in, I could not believe that we had mail delivery. As of today, we still have someone drive past our house every day to drop off our mail. We only check it two or three times a month. Nothing really comes by mail that is that important anymore. People have transitioned to online. 1-877-332-8255. I want to bring on Ron in Regina. Thanks for calling in, Ron. You've got... You want to talk about the messaging that's coming from management. You're saying what they're saying publicly isn't the same thing they're saying to their staff.
Well, yeah. What they're doing is I've got some contacts within Canada Post Operations. And what's going on is they're being antagonistic. Really, they want to break the whole system. In 2023, they built a $500 million plant almost, Albert Jackson in Scarborough. They bought apparently 10,000 new vehicles, of many of which they don't need, maybe only about a third or a quarter right now, so they can make the cupboard bare. They gave management all bonuses last year, but they won't say how much they gave, and now they're saying they have no money. No doubt that there's adjustments that need to be made, and there's been changes in the way the mail runs and the demands in the public. That's fine, but they're being antagonistic. The reason there's going to be a strike now, they're gave notice a week ago that they're going to cut off employee benefits and work conditions, hours, your shifts, everything, as soon as this Friday comes up. And then people are going to have their drug plants cut off that are in cancer treatments with heart conditions and diabetes. Mm. What kind of people do stuff like that unless you want to start a real problem and a fight?
Of course. And I've had a couple of texts on the line from family members of people that work at Canada Post, and they say because of the financial challenges, it's affecting morale. It's affecting member benefits. Someone posted on the line, they feel as if their pension is vulnerable and, of course, have worked many years banking on the fact that they're going to have a pension to retire on. So there's more than one side to this story. There's no doubt about it. And I think somewhere in the middle is the notion of what do we do about Canada Post? Is there need for reform? And generally speaking, people on the line are saying, yeah, Betsy in Saskatoon says Canada Post is outdated. Door-to-door delivery 5 days a week is outdated. The company needs to be overhauled. Sheldon and Estevan, end door-to-door mail delivery. Put super boxes in, even in towns with populations under 600. Close the brick-and-mortar post offices and only have the boxes open. Appreciate everyone joining the conversation today, and we will no doubt continue this as we watch to see whether that strike actually goes ahead on Friday. Wildfire situation in the province. Where's it at? What's the update? Steve Roberts, the Vice President of Operations for the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency, is my guest just after 10. We'll talk wildfires and what the situation looks like in the province right now when we come back here on 650 CKOM 980 CJME.